Good morning, Andy. It's time, Andy. It's time for you to start your radio show. Have a good one.
Inch by inch, row by row, Andy Lopez makes your garden grow. All it takes is organic know-how to make some fertile ground. Inch by inch, box by box, Andy Lopez makes your garden rock. With Invisible Gardener Radio Talk, and don't panic, it's organic.
Me and the boys come to Earth to do some fishing. While here, we listen to BBSRadio.com. Don't panic, it's organic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, better known as, I guess I'm known as the Invisible Gardener. I'm not sure. I think so. Welcome to Don't Panic, It's Organic. This is like, I was looking at my podcast the other day, 298 shows on the podcast. Not necessarily from here, but I've been doing it for a little while. So I think that's, I guess a year's worth of podcasts, even though I've been doing a lot more, but on that particular one, I only had 298 podcasts out. Because I've been doing a show since in the late, let's see, you know, I started earlier in the 80s, but I didn't get on the internet until sometimes in somewhere in the late 90s. So it's been quite a few years doing a show. So I thought maybe I should keep track of the numbers, you know, the how many shows you've done. By the way, the phone numbers to call, and I'm going to give them out right away for you, would be the, if you know how to use Skype, then it's PBS. Radio, no, BB, oh, whatever it is, you know, radio, PR. I lost the thing here. Yep. The toll number is 888-627-6008. And the direct line is 323-744-4831. And it's a BBS Radio PR. Lately, I've been scrambling my words only because I've been haven't been sleeping a lot. Just try it sometime. Go for like a week without sleeping and see what happens. You say, why are you going so long without sleeping? Well, long story. Anyway, so lots going on. One of the things I want to start with is, I decided to do in the news, right? There's so much stuff going on here in the news that it's really worthwhile for me sort of go over real fast with you and see, give you my point of view on these things, right? I look at the science files as providing more power to the plants. It talks about to help increase crop yields, researchers boost psychosynthesis through genetics, which is something they should be doing. I've always said, you know, Monsanto has the government should not allow one company to do genetics that benefits them in terms of finances, while at the same time harming and affecting the whole planet. But if the scientists were behind, the right scientists were using that technology, it would benefit the whole planet. See what I'm saying? Okay. So that's one article there. There's another one here that's interesting. It's called, it's EPA allows pesticide that can hurt bees. So the Environmental Protection Agency will let farmers resume broad use of pesticides over beekeepers' objection, citing private chemical industry studies. Yeah, private chemical industry studies that the agency say shows the product causes only lower level harms to bees and wildlife. I can really go into the whole thing here with you, but basically what it comes down to is that our EPA is now run by a bunch of people that don't believe in the Environmental Protection Agency. They're more like protecting their own interests. And they've already done a great deal of damage in terms of other areas. In terms of allowing, I've been reading about lately. I mean, quite a lot in terms of things coming out. Well, you can use this pesticide now because we declared it to be safe, and it's the science about it was all wrong, and a variety of other stuff that will affect us, will affect the environment, will affect the wildlife, and this whole thing about it's a particular pesticide that they want to use, and it's called, let's see, what is it called? It's the name of it here that I think it's called, it's a weird, of course it's going to be a weird name to pronounce, but it's, let's see, I'm trying to find it here, industry, and it's called, it doesn't tell you what the pesticide says, it's made by a Dow company, you know, and there's one particular one that I was been keeping an eye on, because that one really does more of a problem than anything else to the bees, and it's one of the reasons that why the bee colony collapse is happening. It's called sulfoxoxflor, S-U-L-F-O-X, flor, sulfoxoxflor. Okay, and they spray it on everything. Some of the bees may not die right away, but it definitely affects them. It affects their ability to function as a colony. It affects their children. It affects the whole environment, because not only the bees affected, I consider the bees, the bird, the parakeet in the cage, right? In the miner's cage, right? The parakeets, the bird in the cage, right? You know how that works. If miners will go down with a parakeet in the cage, if the bird died, and they got the heck out of there. Okay. Here's another one. This one's, I think, is my favorite. Nuclear waste to be reclassified as safer. So I think they figured out how to do it. Let's just reclassify it as safer, and it's safe. We don't have to worry about stashing it or storing it or do anything to it. So my beloved administration is making the disposal of radioactive material easier. Okay, so all they do is, well, it's not as radioactive as we thought, which is that way you can just really hire a company, go haul it away and bury it. Because until, you know, for now, you can't really just store it. You have to deal with it in certain ways, and there's no real place to put the stuff. So instead of saying, okay, we should stop making more of it, and we should figure out what to do with what we got, therefore we should stop doing nuclear power. I mean, there's a way to do nuclear power correctly, and that has to do, one of the reasons, one of the side effects of this nuclear power for energy is that we have a nuclear waste that can be used for nuclear bombs, for weapons. And there is a way to make nuclear power without having a radioactive waste, that's called thorium instead of uranium. Thorium, named after the god Thor. Anyway, that's a good way to get rid of nuclear waste, is reclassify it, right? Oh, here's another one. Now, this one has a two-parter, because it was just a two, it was in the, one day it was this tea, what day is this one? Well, so it was July, it was May 13th, about a month ago, that I got this. I've been looking at it and go, oh boy. And then it's just July 9th in the paper, I got another one. And it has basically to do with the rat poison, you know, and how and one letter here, one column, an editorial was about rat poison and how it's devastating the wildlife, and more particular, the mountain lions and the cougars and those creatures that are dying left and right from rat poison. There was a recent one died from rat poisoning. But this other one over here, it has to do with, you know, with rats and using poison. But there's a they were going to use 1.5 tons of poison pellets to kill mice. And there's a place called the Farallones. It's in San Francisco. It's somewhere in the Bay Area over there. And there's tons of, you know, sea lions and creatures there. But there's also seems to have a problem with the rats, and the rats are causing all kinds of problems. So why did they get rid of the rats by using 1.5 tons of rat poisoning to get rid of them? And recently I found out they decided not to do that. So what's interesting about this little place, right, is that I was talking to somebody just yesterday, they said, well, there's no other choice. We have to, use the rat poison always. Because what's happening is that the rats are there, and I think the hawks are coming around to kill the rats, and it's also causing damages to the seal population that's there, and so there's a problem with the rats causing like the diseases and stuff like that. But here's the thing that's really interesting. I was telling a friend of mine, I said, look, You don't have, first of all, you don't have to use the rat poison. There are lots of ways that within 5 seconds I came up with a couple of really good ideas. Some of them I think have merit, for example. So I would hire, this is a good business opportunity, hire a person to go out there and take, say, 10, 15, 20 cats out there, right? It would take them out either once a day, once a week. Just take them out on the island, let them loose, and he would be there, you know, like the goatkeeper, right? The herder, you know, he would hang out with them, and basically they would eat up whatever rats they would come encounter with. And at the end of the day, he would collect them all, put them back in his little, each in their cage, and bring them home. He would, you know, take a short trip on their boat back to where it was. Or an alternative would be they would actually build a little house there that houses that person and houses all the cats that he has or she has. And that would be like a good place for the homeless cats to go to. And they would be just happy to eat all the meese, all the rats that are there. It's just one alternative, right? And there are some things you have to deal with. You know, the cats will have to leave the seals alone and basically not go after the other creatures, other birds, say the hawks or the owls. There are some problems, but I mean, you can work it out. Speaking of hawks, that's another way too. You can have a person go out there with his hawk and let the hawk loose and go after the rats. The hawks will like it. Another alternative would be there's a rat snake. So maybe letting loose a few rat snakes out there might be worth it. I mean, everything has a plus and a minus. You have to think about what would happen and maybe be a million rat snakes. But if the rats finish eating, if the snakes finish eating the rats, no more rats, the snakes will not survive for much longer and they'll be gone too. So as long as the rats there, the rat snakes will probably love it. But maybe there'd be too many rat snakes. I don't know. But maybe you can have a guy show up, let loose of his rat snakes, and then bring him back in again. Something like that. Another alternative is you have a guy who has a big cat, and he knows he has to feed him, so it's just take the cat out there. I mean, by big cat, I mean big cat, you know, cougar, mountain lion, whatever big cat comes into mind, and let him loose, and go. But he might go after the seals, but I don't know, maybe you can train him, you know, have him on a leash, walk around, let him eat the... The point is, I'm sure there are lots of ways one can come up, very creative ways to get rid of the rats without doing the poison. And then this is one that spans over a couple of issues, a couple of articles. Basically, it says 1 million species risk extinction, right? So through the loss of habitat, climate change, overfishing, pollution, so on and so forth. The scientists are saying a million species are at risk of extinction. I would like to add the human race is at risk of extinction too, because we are. Okay? just thought I'd just throw that in there as well. Okay, so then there's just one more, which is really kind of figures, because, you know, this is it goes back to my favorite administration. They want to relax regulation on genetic engineering. They want to exempt new genetically engineered crops from regulation by the Department of Agriculture under a broad overhaul of biotechnology rules announced on Wednesday. The department said they would cut the cost of developing genetically engineered plants and would accept crops with traits similar in kind to modification that could be produced through traditional breeding techniques. Developers would be allowed to make a self-determination that their products are exempt from regulation. I love that. That's my favorite part. Let me read that one again. It says, developers would be allowed to make a self-determination that their products are exempt from regulation. I have a feeling my spider senses are tingling on this one, right? I'm going to have a feeling that they're going to end up getting what they want in there after all. And so, but hopefully, you know, we can change that, but that's not right. Okay, so then, let's see. I gotta push this button over here, and then push that button over there. Let's see what happens.
Hello.
songs coming up for you on the cosmic spaceships. I used to play a lot of games. I still play some, but not a lot. But mainly, I started writing this music thing, and that's more fun than any game I've had so far. Anyway, guys, so I gave out. I think I gave out the numbers. If you want to call me, that's cool. I love talking to you guys. Email is fine. What I said about email last time is that you can send me an email, and I'll try to pick it out of the email. I have no guarantee that I'll find it unless you have some way of waving at me. I saw one person did their email was in pink, and I don't know how they did that. You know, it's definitely stuck out. I think you should do something, you wave at people or something, you know. So I would say in the subject, radio show, don't panic, it's organic radio show. At least that'll get my attention, you know. It won't do any good to say, hey, Andy, or, we should have like a secret password. You know, if you say a password on the subject line, what I do is I have the email goes into a box. It's a rule, you know, so you can tell the computer, if I get this email with this subject line, or from this email address, or from this server, or, you know, from wherever specific wording we have, put it in that box. Just today alone, I've had 1,700 emails already come in, just sitting here in the last hour or so. And I'm going to try to look through it, but I really can't look through them all. I tried the last time, we're going one. Two, you know, you have to click on the change email. Click on the change email. They're all there. They only have the name they're from. It doesn't tell you what it's from, who it is, or anything. Anyway, after a while, if I forget that time, and I go do something and come back, there are more. And if I let it go a day, there's more. And after a while, you go, your mailbox is full. Yeah, it's full. Yeah, it's full. Anyway. So that's why. So what I do is I tell you, look, you want to talk to me, get the email to come to me, there has to be a way. And there is. And I set it up a very simple way. You go to my, if you're a member, then, in the newsletter, there are ways for members to get in touch with me. But basically, all you have to do is you send, if you're a member, you send email to me. The first time you send email, I hope to find it. If I don't find it, maybe it may get into the junk box. But once, if I do find it, then I tell it, if I get an email from this person, to send it to put it in the box, okay? Because I know, you know, if you tell me you're a member, then I will make a rule for your email. And that's very iffy, because I have to find it first. But to be sure that I get the email, right, if you go to my website, because I tell the computer, anything from my website, from my server, goes in that box. If it isn't from my server, and if it's not in any of the other rules, it goes over there with all the rest of them. Okay? All you have to do is you go to the website, you click on inquiry, right? Inquiry is a little form. Hi, your name, you say, hi, Andy, and then you tell me what it is you want to tell me, or the question, or whatever it is you want. And then you click on send, it gets sent from my server to my computer. And they know each other, okay? They're buddy buddies. And it goes into the special box. And then all I got to do is look at that box, because there you are, okay? So if you're a member, I want to make sure that I communicate with my members, because that's what it's about. And if you're not a member, it goes into the general public box. So there's a members box and a general public box. I always look in the members box first and deal with that first, no matter how many members are there. And then I go to the general public box and I try to answer everybody's. And I don't answer, that's the other thing, I don't respond back and say, here's the answer to your question. I can't do that anymore. I've done this for years and years and years. And after about 200, like the 20th respondent, I mean, like babble, babble, babble. I did to tell it. And then. And then it fades out the little lines, and it's like, what's the man trying to do? I can't answer everything over and over again. So many different people. So the way it works is really simple. And I'll tell it to you guys again. If you have a question, fine. Do the inquiry. Send it to me. Hey, Andy, this is a radio show, and I have this question. I'll listen to the radio show next time, get the answer from you. You can also alternatively make a date. In other words, Andy, I want to talk to you on the radio show. And I said, cool. Give me your phone number, and my engineer will contact you and get you on the show. Or I could say, okay, you can come on and such and such a date and time. And all that you have to do is you call the numbers, you know, PBS, BBS Radio, PR, right? Or you call, or you can call the 800 number or the direct line. Either way, the engineer will get it and be expecting you. I think the ideal way is for the engineer to contact you, right, and get you, and maybe in an even separate line. That way it doesn't tie up the public lines, because I love to get a whole bunch of people calling. Okay, so also, too, if you're, anytime you use the system, you could use the inquiry system, you will be automatically entered into the contest, because it does go into a certain box. So all I got to do, say everybody in that box is in the contest. See how simple it is, and enter the contest. And then at the end of the month, I go through that box first, because I have another box, and those are people who do not. If you use just email, if you send me to email, I also have to take that email of yours and put it into the contest box, which is not going to happen. And since I don't know who you are, I have to manually take you out of there and put you in a box. And so I'm not going to do that. Sorry. So if you want to be in the contest, go click on the inquiry button, say hi, enter me in the contest. The other way you do it is you go through the newsletter. That's the easiest way. Is you go to the, when you get the newsletter, subscribe to get my newsletter. You go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, and you click on newsletter, and there's some boxes there of interest. You know, if you're interested in the contest, you get entered in the contest. If you're interested in just a radio show, if you're interested in certain other things, there's some boxes there you can fill out. When you get the newsletter, which I produce twice a month, I was doing once a week. People were saying it's too often. Once a month isn't often enough, so now I'm doing it every other week. There's a button that says contest. Click here to enter the contest. Click on it. A form comes up automatically. All you have to do is, if you have a question, ask the question or whatever you want to do in the form, click send, and you're done. And you can do that every month. Just open the newsletter up. Of course, I would prefer you read it. There's lots of information on the newsletter there. It has to do with my blog, what I'm doing, you know, my new TV show, this information about this show, the contest information. I bet you don't even have any idea what you're going to win this month, because every month is a little different. Let's see. Okay, so I have a new TV series. I call it TV series. It's Invisible Gardener TV. I can call it whatever I want to. Therefore, I do have a TV series. It's on the internet. It's on my website. Now, who knows? Maybe someday I'll progress to be more on the standard TV shows. I do have an idea how to do it. I just have to, you know, get some good things going and then keep going. But you can listen to that. You can watch it on my website, invisiblegardener.com. Click on TV and it'll come up. You can also watch it on the top of, on the homepage. On the top of it, it'll say live cam. So my TV show is up there when it's not live, and when it's live and me waving at you, talking to you. That comes on a new show every day. Okay, I'm not sure if you can subscribe to it or not. But it's also on YouTube, and I know you can subscribe to it on YouTube. I have about 1,000 subscribers now. That might be an easy way. So if you use YouTube, of course, the show is also on Facebook and a few other places. Okay, so then let's see. Today I'm talking about how you too can heal the soil, and I'm going to be talking to you about rock dust. And this is part one. This also happens to be the video that we just did for my TV show, so it's up there. So what I'm going to do is, when I do the TV portion of it, I'm also going to do the radio portion of it, see? And they complement each other. So if you watch that and then you have a question, then you know you can always talk to me about it. I think See, what will happen is that when people watch the show, the TV thing, this show is already over with, so they will be asking me next show. So next show, you can ask me about the previous show that you watched, okay? Unless you happen to be smart enough, you can watch the video, the show before the show, because what I do is I post it on Friday. So on Friday, you have the TV version of it, the video version of the show, and on Saturday, you have the audio version of it, which I'll talk about it. Plus, if you saw the video version, you have questions, now's your time to talk to me. And I have a whole bunch of them coming up. Next TV show and also the radio show is going to be all about compost and how you can use that in healing the soil. And the week after that, I do a TV show every day, but I do one particular show that the radio show deals with, okay? So the Friday TV show is Saturday's radio show. The Monday and Wednesday and Tuesday and all those other days are all different segments of the show, okay? You can, of course, ask questions about that, too. So the one after that is going to be on the benefits of using a cover crop and how to heal the soil. So let me get started on, let's see what this one is here. This song, by the way, is called Don't Go Outside. And I don't know what happened there. Isn't that cool? I love it, man. That song's only about 75 minutes long. No, I actually did one that's 32 minutes long. Put me to sleep before I got there. And this one here, I'm still in the process of working on it. It doesn't have all the frequencies in it that I want. So I'm going to be putting some meditative frequencies in there. But they're also basically universal frequencies. Not just affect the human body, but they actually affect all living organisms. And specifically, you know, I don't think people ever wonder what happens when they play music to the soil. Those are the things I think about. Okay, and it turns out there is a benefit to that, but it depends on the music, right? Okay, so then I think everything's fine because I don't see any signs that there is any, if the engineer is sort of there. His name is Don, by the way. Don and Doug, two great brothers for BBS Radio, one of the best group of guys. I haven't met you guys yet, you know, right? We should have a party or something. You should have like a station party, you know, everybody's on the air should come and have a party. I'll drive up there, fly up there. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Anyway, so today I'm going to talk to you about using rock dust, okay? And so I've been fortunate enough that I started using rock dust, let's see, 1970, well, actually, it goes back to even further than that, because that's what I was thinking. See, in 1970 is when I got out of the service. And I started this little garden then, and I actually started the Living Institute of Survival. Okay, I actually started a church, because I'm actually an ordained minister, and we started a school called the Living Institute of Survival Technology, which then developed the business which is called the Invisible Gardener. That was in 1970. But by that time, I was already very efficient in the use of rock dust. There wasn't as much rock dust available in those days. There were a few sources. local sources were fun. See, rock dust is a broad classification of almost anything in a rock in a dust form, in a rock or dust form, right? Rock dust comes from rocks, right? Crushed up rocks, very finely ground up rocks. So lots of things are in that form. It can be ground up into a dust. Oyster shell dust, for example, or eggshell forms of dust, right? Or you name the rock, calcium, iron, magnesium. They all turn into, if you do it right, into a fine powder. And that's the way it works in Mother Nature, because Mother Nature breaks it down, everything down into a fine powder before the bacteria gets to it. The bacteria have to break it down. And the bacteria can only eat they have to eat such tiny particles, see? They can't eat a big giant boulder. They basically have to take the little tiny bit of it. They have to work their way into it. That's why they use carbonic acid, which is how they make, how they break down any mineral. Right? Okay, so I started using, I came across rock dust when I was driving around the countryside in Homestead, Florida. I'm remembering now, driving around Homestead, Florida, and I found a place that had strawberries. And so I pulled in there with my dad. Let's see now, wait a second. So I lived there for a long time, so I want to go back a little further, because I used to go out there in my car when I lived there and drive around. That was my early days, just before I got married. But going back even further, my dad would go out with me. I would go out with my dad, whichever. He would be driving, of course. And we would go out to the countryside looking for fruit, vegetables, a few things like that. A lot of times visiting other cousins, and they lived in various different places in South Florida there. So quite often I remember we went to Homestead and they had a farmer's market, and we would buy all kinds of, whether it be mangoes, papayas, mamey, fruit, stuff like that, bring them home. And so I remember once saying, let's stop here, because there's a guy has a stand. Lots of different fruit and stuff like that. And, you know, it's funny. To this day, I still remember his name. It's kind of weird. You know, I may forget a lot of people's names, but this guy, I just remember his name. And I don't understand it. It's like it must be over 50 years ago, 55, 60 years ago, because I'm 70. Okay, think about it. His name is Ebersol. Really cool old man, kind of bent, hunched over, and he had these fruits sitting there, and he had strawberries and stuff, and he said, here, try this. And I ate it. It was a delicious strawberry. I said, oh my God, this strawberry is so absolutely delicious. And he said, here, have a peach, or have a, no, see, it wasn't a peach. I didn't grow peaches there, but it was plums and apricots, and he had mangoes. He had all different kinds of fruit trees. And I said, whoa, this is really, he took me on a little tour. It's very impressive. I mean, and he was one of my early early forces that direct me, because at that time I was already leaning very much organic and, you know, learning as much as I could. But when you run into somebody who's actually doing it, and I remember exactly, because that's where I first ran into green sand. I didn't run into it, but I encountered green sand, because that's what one of the things he used. And then he used another product, which is a rock dust, green sand, a bunch of other stuff combined. And it's called, I remember the name now, it's called Fertrell, F-E-R-T-R-E-L-L. As a matter of fact, you can look it up right now if you want to, Fertrell, and you'll see what happens. I'm going to go ahead and just look it up over here in my little portable computer. And we're at Fertrell, F-E-R-T-R-E. Yeah, there it is. The Fertrell Company. So, son of a gun. Natural, this is a commercial, guys. Natural organic fertilizer, soil amendment, and it says livestock and livestock nutrition. Fertrell, cool. I haven't thought of these guys in such a long time. And they, I bought their product. I don't remember the name of their product, but it should be enough that I got the their name. And it's it was basically made from rock dust, right, in a granular form of a variety of other things that had in it that were made from rock dust or were made from, that had green sand in it. I think it's called the They have a bunch of different variety now here, and I was trying to find it, see if they have the they have liquids too. That's pretty cool. I have to contact them. So I started, I buy a little bit of green sand, a bag of green sand from him, and buy some of the fir trail from him, take it back, start applying it on my parents' property, on the tomatoes and on the lawn. Eventually I would have to go back and get more. At that time, there was no really place I could go to the store and buy any type of organic fertilizers. That's why reason why I was going on the countryside in the first place is that I would like to, I had my dad go to farms and see about whatever manure I can get from them, but that was also difficult. We had a normal little car, we had a little backyard, so we really couldn't do that route for long. So I was trying to just find, just buy the fruit. And when I started doing my business, by the time I was in the ninth grade, I was already doing more liquids. I already had my some type of basic primary super seaweeds already started. And of course, I was using the green sand and the fir trail. And there were a few other things that I started as a youngster, I would learn really fast a lot of alternative things that I could buy, which I could buy from the local grocery store. When you go to, and if you're in the nursery, lots of things you can buy if you're smart enough that doesn't have to be chemical oriented. But it wasn't until the 70s when I got out of the service that, and of course I continued doing the municipal gardener, but that I was able to actually access more sources of rock dust, because by then the good old boys, the farmers here, the ones that promote the rock dust, were starting to expand their rock dust work. The folks from the Rodale, for example, was doing a lot of work on rock dust. The folks from the Nitron Industries, the AgriGrow folks were doing a lot of work. There was lots of really good organic fertilizer companies popping up now. They all dealt with one form of rock dust or remineralization. So it was more available. That's when I first got a hold of the Nitron A35 and the AgriGrow. They're two different companies, but they're both enzymes. And I was always looking for enzymes to break down the minerals. So I figured I got the minerals. Now I need something to break down the enzymes because they ain't in the soil. Okay? If it was in the soil, if you had the enzymes already in the soil, you could add the minerals to the soil. That's fine, but they're not in the soil. And that was even way back then that there wasn't. That means that we've been destroying the soil for a long time. I gotta keep an eye on the clock because I just, I can go on forever. So, I learned that the more different varieties of sources of rock dust, the better. Right now, I get about 14 at last count different sources of rock dust. That's one of the things I'm going to do next week for you guys. I'm going to list my 14 different sources of rock dust for you, okay? And then what I'm also going to do is also start to list my sources of enzymes for you, okay? And I haven't decided to what degree I will reveal my secret to making super series. I will anyway. And that's basically it's a primordial, I call it primordial soup. There are certain enzymes that really haven't been discovered yet, according to what I understand. And I discovered it. And I make it like yogurt, from one batch to another batch to another batch. So that would be the only thing that would be different than my super seaweed and your super seaweed if you follow, you did everything that I tell you to, right? And, I have it in my book. I have part of it in my book, okay? I wasn't really sure if I want to reveal everything, but yeah, I have no problem in telling you every place that I get stuff from, and you tell you how to sort of mix them together, how to use them. And the only thing that's different is that particular bacteria that I have, that I discovered, which I continue to use. And interestingly enough, you can't get that bacteria from me simply by buying my surface C because it has the bacteria in it. I just told you already, right? Because you can take that and make more. Duh. Okay, that's what I do with a couple other products, which I buy from them. And unfortunately, when I make it with my stuff, there's more of it. And so, okay. And so I don't have to buy from their product as much as I used to before, even though I buy it also and I apply it directly to the properties because it's really very good products, enzymes to use. And nowadays, there's more and more stuff available. And, you know, there's a place called Acres USA, A-C-R-E-A, Acres USA. So I would look them up on the website, Acres USA. Tell me, Andy, the Invisible Gardener sent you. They've been around since, well, when I started in the 70s, Charlie was already doing it. That's his name, Charlie, and I think I've forgotten his last name already. I'm sorry, and then his son named Chuck is doing it now, too. And they were doing Acres USA. It's basically the good old boys of farmers who are organic are the leaders really in this field, and they prove it by doing the farming, by doing the actual work. And so they're into all kinds of really, really cool stuff. So I get their magazine Acres USA, give it a shot. You'll find lots of sources back there that you can get. I get a lot of my things from there. Lots of different rock salt sources, different types of enzyme sources. You want to have access to all these things to be able to make the best product that you can to help heal the soil. Because what you're basically doing, right, is you're saying, oh, the soil is sick or the soil is dead. It's not dead. There's nothing there. I tell people the good guys and the bad guys don't live in the same place. So which do you think you want to have in there? The good guys. Okay, so, you know, all diseases come from the soil. What that means is that the disease is there already. In the human body, you have all diseases and cancer and all these things. They're there already. It's just being held in a state of, but they under the right conditions, they will spring forth. Okay? So the same thing with disease in the soil. Every disease known to a plant and stuff is there. Whether the conditions are right for it to manifest, that's another story, right? And so when you overwater, when you use toxins, when you destroy the soil, use chemical fertilizers, you're destroying all the beneficial organisms that live there. And interestingly enough, the quote, bad organisms, this is what they do. That's what happens when the good guys are not there. They take over. There's a function that they have. Everything has a function. They're not bad or good. That's just what they do, okay? And so if you want to heal the soil, you basically want to start bringing back the function that the soil does, bringing back the beneficial microorganisms that the soil is supposed to be in the soil, and helping it by giving it the minerals it needs. It's called soil depletion. If you take the minerals out of the soil, you don't put anything back in, it's going to be less and less of that mineral in the soil. Eventually, there'll be none of it. That's called soil depletion. So you have to put it in. You might as well put in the microorganisms with it too. Because nowadays you can get tons of different types of microorganisms. I don't have any of them available around right now, but one of the things I will be doing is going through the list of sources. So I'll be talking to you about specific stuff that I use and what's in there, so you'll be able to determine for yourself. Really easy to get a hold of nowadays. I buy a lot of stuff from Amazon, really easy. Order too, like that way, you know, get it here. Lots of stuff on the internet, you can easily just order. So I'll go over all those things with you in terms of the sources, what they are. But essentially, what you want to do is you want to learn how to, and that's one reason why I'm having the compost next week, a talk about compost. And that's why you make compost. You don't make compost because you think you're recycling. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to take food and stuff and recycle and make compost out of it. That's the reason why I make compost. No. It's a benefit. It's one of the benefits. You know, it's like one of the side effects of making compost. You know, it happens to be a benefit. So this side effect is not a bad one. It's a good side effect. But you make compost to heal the soil. That's why you make compost. And if you're going to heal the soil, you better give it good shit, right? You better give it the good stuff that it needs instead of the bad stuff. Chemical fertilizers are not the good stuff. They'll destroy more stuff. They destroy the microorganisms and destroy everything and the function of the soil. And at the same time, it destroys the plants because it's a chemical fertilizer. It's a type of food that they get into their bodies where they're and whether they want to or not, at the rate they cannot control. High nitrogen fertilizers just get sucked right into their body. They go, right? And that right there caused a lot of stress to me. Imagine the stresses it causes in the plants. Just think about it. The higher stress, the greater the pest. Simple. I made that up. So you want to, get a balanced diet. Right? A balanced diet meaning you want to get... That's one reason why compost, having animal manure in compost is so important. You make compost without animal manure, you're missing the most important thing that compost has to offer. And it's always amazing to me that there's so many problems with E. coli and those things like that, when all they really had to do is make compost. It can be composted, you don't have that problem anymore, and you're benefiting the earth at the same time. A lot of these animal places, cattle, horse or whatever, they have a lot of billion animals, they have a composting problem. They're not composting, they're throwing it away. And they're dumping it, and that's what's causing the problem, because it's spreading all over the place, E. coli and stuff. Whereas if they make compost out of it, their argument is it's too much work, it costs too much money, whatever. No, not the case at all. They're just too lazy to do it. There should be a law. You have these things, you need to make compost out of it. Then they can sell the compost. Oh, gee, we can make money off the compost. And if especially if it's clean compost, it doesn't have the sewer sludge. And that's one of the problems with sewer sludge. It's not really compost. It's sewer sludge. Sludge, people waste. They call it so many different names now. They're trying to come up with different names for sewer sludge. But sewers is sewage. People poo-poo, mainly it's human waste. Okay? And that can be composted too, to where there's nothing left but good, rich compost. Okay? You'd be amazed at what compost can do, the bacteria can do. One of the products that I buy is called our AgriGrow, A-G-R. AgriGrow, A-G-R-I-G-O, A-G-R-I-G-R-O, AgriGrow, right? And if you look them up on the internet, AgriGrow, you'll see they're there. They have their original, I call it the original pink stuff, and they have another one called Ultra. And Ultra is basically AgriGrow and seaweed together. Wonderful stuff to use, because AgriGrow, it's a specific enzyme. When they had the fires, the war in Kuwait and all that fires, they went there. They went there with their product and they dumped it on the fires on the ocean, and they put the fires out and they ate all the oil. Nice, huh? And so I've been using that enzyme for a while, and then in 1970 I also ran across the Nitron A35, which is another enzyme done by a person in Arkansas, and they also have a very nice a glacial rock dust and a very nice seaweed and a bunch of other wonderful products, and it's an organic company. I use that Natron A35. I have several other different types of enzymes, different sources of enzymes in my super seaweed product, which I then incorporate as many of the different sources of trace minerals as possible. Because that's what you want. You want like a massive blend of everything rather than one thing. See, I'm not a chemist. I am a little bit in a certain sense, but as a naturalist, right, I don't want to be dumping 10 pounds of calcium on that plant, right? When in reality, the other trace minerals are just as important, if not even more important. That's one reason why, for example, I talk a lot about the exotics. Exotic. So it's a trace metal that's considered exotic. Exotic. Okay, and some of them you know by name, cadmium, mercury, lead, arsenic. You go, oh, these are bad. They're bad if not exotic. If you need them. You have them in your body. You have them in the soil. You have them everywhere in the right proportions. They're needed for human growth, and all animals have it. In the wrong proportion, yeah, they're toxic. Gold even, right? Silver, mercury, lead. They're in your body, okay? And therefore, they're in the food. They're in the soil. That's how you get them. I have another show called Cosmic. I'm going to probably do it here. I call it cosmic gardening, okay? And so I'm thinking of actually doing a show here And mainly it comes down to, why do we eat? And you would say, well, we eat to grow our bodies, to be healthy. And that would be the obvious thing, right? You know? But did you know that all elements, that's a good way to put it, all elements, because I was saying minerals, but basically all the elements, you know, I don't know a number of elements that we have. I'm going to have to look up the elemental chart, right? But all the elements have, they not only vibrate at a certain frequency, but they also have, they also have a certain energy that comes with it. Like, you know, kinds of stuff beeping all of a sudden that comes with it. And in terms of cosmic gardening, what happens is that certain, they're called cosmic rays, okay, cosmic rays. And the cosmic rays, very, very fast. They shoot through the Earth, in the Earth, into the Earth, and outside the other side of the Earth in a nanosecond. Until recently, I thought the nanosecond was very fast. But there's actually something else that's 1,000 times faster, and I don't know the name of it. This little kid showed it to me. I looked it up and I go, holy cow. But it goes into the Earth and out the other side in a nanosecond. That's 1 billionth of a second. And there's and these cosmic rays are made up, there are different types of cosmic rays, each made up of different elements. And when that cosmic ray shoots through the Earth and leaves goes out the other end, what happens is that there are certain elements and certain minerals that are called paramagnetic. And what that means to me is that when they shoot through the Earth, cosmic ray, these paramagnetic elements absorb that particular energy. And by us eating it, well, animals eat it, all a bunch of, you know, we have this chain, right? But at the bottom line, we eat it. We are also getting that energy. So in a lot of ways, we are cosmic beings, and we need this type of cosmic energy, okay? When I gave a talk, it's called Fayetteville, Arkansas. The Nitron company, when I was buying their product, they gave, I'm going to have to go soon. I know it's got about a few minutes, but it's okay. My show is after that too. they gave a yearly talk conference, organic, I'm not sure what the name of it was, but it was basically organic gardening workshop. And they gave a conference, and I was one of the speakers. I was one of the speakers, you know, that gave a talk, and the guy named Phil Callahan was there, and he talked about, sacred places of England, and there was also, he wrote a book called Tuning into Nature. So I was talking about these things, because I've always been doing this for a long time, and I gave that talk, and I said, I don't know what's going on, man, but I said this, and then afterwards, he came and talked to me, and he says, yep, that's what it's all about. And there's he calls them towers of power, basically, all throughout England and Europe. You'll find these towers. They're surrounded by luscious little area, really luscious green and flowers, all kinds of beautiful things. And the very top, somewhere 2/3 of the way up, there's a door. And people would say, well, that's obviously a way for them to get away from the Vikings. They would just go up there and roll up the ladder, and nothing could attack them. They would roll back down again. But that didn't explain why everything was so luscious around it. And Phil Callahan said, well, the tower is made, it's a argon accumulator. Wilhelm Reich invented, he thought he invented the argon accumulator and how argon is a source of energy. But basically, these people were way before him, and they already did that too. And when those rays shoot through the Earth and they shoot through that structure, that building absorbs it. And the way they made the building is alternative, organic and inorganic. And so the building itself is made of different layers. They have, it's full of crystalline rocks, crushed rock in the very core of it. And it absorbs certain, that the height of it and the place where that door is placed is basically the tuning, the way it gets tuned. Isn't that interesting? And the lines that the ley lines, the Earth has ley lines. And when this energy goes in, it gets spread out through the ley lines and goes out. A lot of churches in Europe are built on the ley lines. We have ley lines in our body. But we call them meridians. And so we take the same energy and we absorb it through our energy. We have over 108 energy centers. This uses this specific energy. Anyway, I don't want to get carried away because, you know, I'm really good at this. So I'm going to be talking more about this coming up every week. So stay tuned for the show because I want your opinion. I want you to understand what I'm talking about, and I'm here to help you. So if you have a question that has nothing to do with this, as long as it's for you, I'm happy to help you out. Coming up really soon, let's see, I got 4 more minutes. So if you go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, check out. So if you enter, here's the thing about the contest. Everybody that enters the contest automatically wins, okay? So you'll win a free lifetime membership right off the bat. Then I'll pick one winner from the general public to get the special prize. And this month, the special prize basically is the you're going to get a printed version of my book. I have a Don't Panic, It's Organic, my latest book. It's $20 for the printed version. And I'll send you that. So basically, you're getting like a regular membership. People pay $55 for membership. They get the printed version of the book. If they just want to get the PDF version, then it's a $20 ding, and then it's a $20 digital version, digital membership. They just get, you know, they get access like a regular member, and you get all the books in the PDF format. Next month, I'm working on getting some T-shirts and some hats and some coffee mugs. Say, don't panic, it's organic. But everybody enters, so when I get that email from you saying, you please enter me in your contest, I say, you get a notice back right away saying you have won, and you click on it, follow the directions, and you become a member, you'll get automatically get the newsletter sent to you, which allows you to enter the contest every month. If members enter the contest, they already have a lifetime membership, so that's not going to help them to give them another one, but they will get the book, the printed version of the book, sent to them. And we'll see. If they already have a book, you just have to say, I already have a printed version. Can I get a $20 discount towards any product? Or maybe they may want a super seaweed, a quart of super seaweed, which is around that price. Or if they want some of my rock dust, $20 off. You know what I'll do is I'll say, if you instead of the book, if you don't want the book, you can get the rock dust. Okay, the rock says it's $50, so that's a good deal. Plus, I have to pay the shipping for it. I have to think about that one. But if I say that, that's what's good for that month. Okay, every month is going to be a little different. So as soon as I get some T-shirts and other things, that's when we'll be offering different prices. Okay, so I have about a minute or so. My engineer usually come on. He'll say, "I think you have to go now." See, he said that. He's listening. Oh my God. Okay, you guys, look. I also have, like, I have a new show, you know, Invisible Gardener TV. Go out there and check it out. Yesterday a new one came up. Every Friday would be a different one that I talk about, but then more coming on every time. So check it out. I have a drone flying around. I mean, a lot of fun. So I think, I'm not sure, but it looks like the top of the line. So thank you very much for listening to my show. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'm just going to play this until it's time to go. Ha 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 ha